Welcome, welcome, Wahoo fans, to this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk. That is that damn 757 Petty Hawk in here, as usual. We have a special guest today, ladies and gents, former Cavalier great QB, Aaron Brooks, a.k.a. AB. What's good, fam?
What's up, peoples? Yeah.
I'm five, baby. Ferguson High School. Yeah. Oh, the game.
Here we go. 757 again.
And this big bro right here, all the way back to Pony League when my pops coaching him in baseball.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. Well, you know what? Let's start there. Let's start in the 757, bro. Let's take it all the way back to home of Ferguson High School, fam. Let's talk about those days, man, and a little bit about your upbringing.
Oh man, I'm straight, as they would say, gutter. I'm downtown Newport News all day, every day, and it was a humble beginnings, to say the least. Coming up, you know, we ain't really have much, but it was what we had was everything that we needed. So I played a whole lot of sports coming up, we played at Anderson Park baseball. Mm-hmm. If we was in the backfield and Ridley Circle playing hot ball with the older heads, playing two-hand touch or tackle football with the older heads, or I was going to the boys club, you know, Hampton Roads Boys Club on Hampton Avenue. So my life was always, you know, engulfed with sports. That was my avenue. You know, everybody, you know, growing up on 16th and Jefferson in the 90s, it was tough. Because, you know, you had the drug epidemic going on and all that. But I didn't let any of that deter me because I love sports. And so, I fast forward that till, you know, going to high school, I had older cousins that led the way. Greg Brooks played football. My cousin Ricky played a little bit of football. And, I just continued to excel in sports. I was fortunate enough to have a head coach in Tommy Reamon to have somewhat of an idea what a professional or what a football program supposed to look like. But even before Tommy, Steve Isley was our head coach. But at the same time, I had a chance to play up early, like a sophomore on a varsity squad. My little skinny self, I wasn't ready, but, you know, I got the experience. And so when I did, my talents had excelled, but I was very fortunate because I had a really, really talented receiver, Eric Jones, where I could just let my talent show, meaning I could just let my arm, you know, I could just let it rip and he'll go get it. And although we didn't win a lot of games, I was able to display my talent against every team that we played. And that earned me the opportunity to come to UVA. I got recruited by Tom O'Brien with George Welsh back in the day as the offensive coordinator, and they saw something in me. And after that, it was a wrap. I got a chance to get to know some of my teammates in the All-Star game that we played down at Hampton.
At Donna.
Tatum. Yeah. So I got to know Dex, Shannon Taylor, Anthony Sheldon, a couple of those guys that made the All-Star game. So, you know, that led into UVA and how I felt going into UVA, because I had a chance not only get recruited, but accept the fact that that's where I'm headed, and also had a chance to meet some of my future teammates. And so, yeah, man, it was nice. I credit the hood. I credit the hood for the talent. You know, because they're going to try you.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like Brooks talked about, like Anderson Park, we all grew up playing baseball. I just saw an interview that Deion Sanders had, and he said, like, today's young men don't play baseball because the fathers aren't putting the bats and the ball in their hand. But where we grew up, baseball was common. Like, you could play pickup baseball games. Like, we get the bags from whether Coach White or any of these coaches at Anderson Park, and we go play on our own. And that dude was a hell of a pitcher.
And but also, to that point, you had your sisters and your moms who played baseball, whether it was, I mean, softball, whether it was at the church, or they had experience playing in high school, whatever. And so, you know, baseball was a part of all that we did on a regular, recreational was.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, my mom played softball. I remember her playing for the church league, fam. So yeah, y'all taking me back, boy. Wow.
We changed sports with the seasons. Like, yes, we didn't know anything about specializing. We played everything.
Right.
And we didn't know we was going to learn to try to beat you. And that's all we did, just play sports, man. And Brooks, being at Ferguson, because a lot of times, like, the rap where we grew up was, like, if you wanted a scholarship, you go to Hampton City Schools. But you were one of the guys that was, like, pioneers of going to a D1 school. Besides Virginia, what were other D1 schools that was recruiting you?
That's crazy. I was pretty much heavily recruited. But my official visit was to Maryland. UVA almost lost me to Maryland. I was really close to going to Maryland, real talk. I was, because, you know, Mark Duffner and those guys, they was throwing a rock, and I wanted to throw. And, but I took a trip out to Missouri for my coach. He went there. Georgia Tech, I really liked Georgia Tech. I loved Atlanta, the city of Atlanta. You know, I thought I was going to be an engineer at one point. But then I went to Maryland. Then it came down to Virginia, Maryland. And I was just like, yo, I had a list of what my criteria was. And that was, did the school play black quarterbacks? What was the graduation rate? When I had the opportunity to start? And it might have been one more. And was I going to redshirt or not? And I wanted to redshirt. So I like Coach Riemann kind of helped me with that. But at the same time, UVA checked all the boxes. High graduation rate with the football program. They played black quarterbacks. Bobby Goodman, Sean Moore, Jimmy Willis. You know what I mean? So that checked the box. And it was close to home. We ain't had no money, so it definitely one of the ways to be close. And I knew I wasn't gonna come in and start right away. So I was like, I needed time to develop. And so by the time I redshirted sophomore year, I was given some opportunities, some chances. And so all the things that I looked at going into becoming a Cavalier, I was able to check off those boxes, and they stayed. Coach Welsh promised me that he was going to stay there. He wasn't going to retire until after I left, and he did that. So all them boxes were checked, and so that made my experience a whole lot better. Although there were some turbulent times, but my experience was in terms of the timeline was awesome. I couldn't ask for anything better.
Were you always naturally a quarterback? Did you just gravitate to that position?
Nah, man. I was always a QB. It's funny because I came in to UVA really not knowing how to run. My things going out to the side and everything. You know, that strength coach came through and helped us in the offseason teach us how to run. I was able to drop my 40 time down a little bit, but I ain't know how to run. But I never played any other position. I mean, I flirted around with safety for a second because that was the only spot available me being so young on a varsity team. And then I played a little bit of safety my senior year. I can read a quarterback eyes to get to the ball, but I ain't hit nobody.
I ain't really beaming. I ain't hit nobody.
I ain't busting no child. Ain't no born days coming out of me. Right, man.
and come the thing about Brooks in high school, because when he made that reference to Maryland, because Brooksy and Riemann, they threw the ball. Like, if you remember, so Ferguson wore that powder blue just like the Houston Oilers. And Brooks was like mooning me. Like, Brooks didn't run around. Brooks sat in the pocket and he just dotted you all day long because he had some dope receivers. But I mean, they were hand in hand. So that's why hearing him say Maryland and then he went to UVA, because that's all he did in high school was let it fly. And won't no running. Brooks was a legit QB. Ain't no dual threat. He had dual threat abilities, yeah. Like he said, but he didn't know how to run because Coach Raymond, who's a guy that was in the NFL with the Chiefs, and then he went on to coach Mike after Brooks, but he taught him what you needed to do, how to play to survive at that next level. That's all they did at Ferguson. They let it fly.
Yeah, we ran that little waggle joint.
Yeah.
We tried to fake pump like we ran him, knowing we're going to throw it the whole time.
Whole time.
But see, a lot of kids don't get that development, though, man. And so they're forced into those, like, oh, okay, well, you know, he's a black quarterback. He should be able to run. So let's utilize his running ability instead of really teaching him the position and how to play quarterback and stand in the pocket and go through reads and understanding those things, man. So, you know, kudos to Coach Raymond for being able to set you up for success.
Yeah, that's real, because even, you know, my opportunity going into the NFL, that's what I thought I had to do, was sit in the pocket and prove to people that I can read the defense. Mm. That stigma did stick, and it still was on my mind to the point where I felt like if I had any chance of going to the next level, that's what I had to do. So that was a great point that you brought that up. Yeah, man.
So once you got the UVA, you saw the lay of the land. You're like, okay. You know, I definitely want a red shirt. That was one of your criteria that you laid out. What did you see when you first got there, man, as you start watching, you know, things unfold and, you know, going to practices and running the scout team and whatnot? Did you feel like, all right, look, I can't wait till it's my turn? Or are you like, boy, I got a lot to learn?
It was kind of twofold, because the entire class like that came in with me in 94, we came in as some cocky, confident. I don't care what you call it. We were confident in our abilities. And we just felt like we had a vibe amongst one another that, you know, we can step out there right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with our abilities, only a few had that opportunities. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I wasn't ready. But you got to understand, when you got Jermaine Crowell and he's stepping up, and Coach said, look, man, look, Crowell, you coming with us to Florida State, and we taking Poindexter, we taking Brooks, we taking such and such, we taking such and such, Brooks, we bringing all y'all with us to Florida State, and Crowell, you going to start the first game. We like, what? Let's get it. Let's go. You know what I mean? So that right there, and then before you know it, you know, probably within – 7 months or the next year, Dex was on the field. We was like, what? Come on, man. No, it's time to go now. Yo, when is our turn? But I realized looking at, first thing I realized was playing against Rondé Barber. I'm trying him every day. Like, he can put all his All-American accolades, Hall of Fame accolades. My name need to be tatted right under his name in small print. I went out to Rondé every day in practice. Every day. Even when I got in the NFL, I was like, the hell with Rondé. I know what you do. I'm coming at your ass. About three times against Tampa Bay. I said, this a mother. I said, well, if anybody let UVA do it. So, but to my point is that, you know, you don't realize how unprepared you are until you go against experienced players. Mm-hmm. And watching guys like Mike Frederick, Randy Neal, Tiki, Rondé, Ski Jones, I mean, you know what I mean? Like Kevin Brooks, you realize these guys are seasoned vets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real out there.
It's real.
You know? Mm-hmm. And you playing against a scout team thinking you Tyler Ward, that ain't going to cut it, bro. You know what I mean? It ain't going to cut it. So, you know, I was like, let me see over here. Let me watch, see what the first team doing over here. I said, oh, yeah, they playing real football. Mm-hmm. But it allowed me to have that understanding, like, okay, this is what I need to learn and understand about the game of football, because now it's a system. It's mm-hmm. a system. And you got to understand what the coaches are looking for, you know, to do and how you fit into that system.
No doubt.
say that.
Right. I feel you though. You know, it's you guys sound a lot like the class of 86 when we came in, because we came in cocky, talking shit. We like, we about to do this. You know, a couple of dudes got opportunity that first year. Most of us got redshirted, but that next year, most of us were in the starting rotation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so we was putting fourth and fifth year guys on the bench who just didn't have a heart. We just went out there and did what we did. But I think everybody got that indoctrination to let you know that it was real. For me, it was Chris Warren taking a pitch out left. I'm playing that right cornerback, and I'm coming up to hit him. And I swear it looked like he was dragging his forearm, just waiting to put that damn forearm in my damn throat. Man, I just held on for dear life. I was like, okay, this shit's official. So let me really get in this weight room, because this 164 pounds ain't gonna cut it playing defense.
Right. That's right.
For sure.
I know.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Man. So then, you know, then the following year, backing up Mike Groh and Sherm are kind of going back and forth. You know, you're getting a little bit of time. Did you feel like you were ready to go then? Did you feel like you were a better quarterback and you should have been playing more?
Yeah, I just felt like I was rushed. I felt like rushed because, you know, he would get all the reps. And then when it was going bad, they'd throw me in. So I was feeling like I got to make something happen.
Mm. Right.
Time I made something happen, it didn't go the way I wanted it to go, in terms of my stats. But you know, I felt like I was ready if I was the focal point, mm-hmm. because it showed in the Conquest Bowl, that last game of the season where Welsh liked to put in some of the younger players in.
Mm-hmm.
I came and had some immediate success with Cruel with the connection with him, and we went on to have a really good season, my junior year, his senior year.
Yeah.
But you know, at that time, my redshirt sophomore, I knew it was my time. But was I completely ready? No. But could I have been ready sooner rather than later? Of course. I think if you go back and ask some of the other older fifth year guys at that time, they wanted me in there, and they saw how a younger kid, as opposed to a fifth-year senior who really never played, how I could have benefited the team more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But Welsh, you know, he liked his fifth-year seniors, rightfully so. And but, you know, I wanted it. And I guess at the time, I wasn't mature enough to come in with a calm demeanor attitude as opposed to, very confident, cocky attitude, trying to make something happen as opposed to having the time and experience to allow the game come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We had Tiki, but when you put me in, they know all we got is Tiki, and you third and long, what you want me to do?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
happen to throw it on second, try to fool on me. What you want me to do? I gotta go for mine. I gotta try to get it. Yeah. And but that's just came from inexperience. But you know, I won't take it back. I wish I had more of an opportunity to succeed in that situation.
But you were still having success. So when you became the starter in '97, you guys were rolling up. You had a great season. You know, the team finished 7-4. you guys, you know, y'all did the damn thing.
Yeah. We opened up against Auburn, and they had one of the best defenses in the country. And that was my first start. And I gave Auburn, you know, and not just I, but we gave Auburn 300 yards in the air.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that lets you know right there, hey, we weren't out here just to play. We were played against some experience, some ball team, and we opened up against Auburn. But we felt like, yo. And we had success. We beat Clemson that year.
Mm-hmm. Down there.
That was a huge highlight. We ended up being like, yo, like, okay. But that was a very successful year for all of us. You know, Dex led us, having a monstrous year. I think it was Wody and Womack and Thomas Jones and in the back.
Yeah.
That's special.
We had Crowell, and Terrence was learning how to become a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense was just on lock with Wally and Dex back there. And, man, Stoops at corner.
Stoops at corner, yeah, Burnham with Dex.
Burnham next to Dex. We was still stacked. And then we was fresh off of the Florida State joint. So we seen what success was like.
Right. Right. You know?
And so but that 97 year, I just caught fire in October.
Yes, you did. Especially that Virginia Tech game, the last game of the season, lit they ass up.
Yeah, I mean, much goes to, you know, the line, offensive line with John St. Clair and Noel Lamonte, and we was able to have that 1-2 combination with Womack and Jones. But you put Crowell one-on-one with anybody,
man, you take that all day, every day.
And Sparky Woods offense, too. He throw the rock on the island.
That is correct. We was able to convince, we both were able to convince Welsh, man, let it go, man. Let's add everything out, man. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let it go. Mm-hmm. And, that was fun, man. That was a fun year, man. That was a fun year.
Then 98 rolls around. Y'all coming off of momentum in 97, 74, looking to do even bigger things. And you had another great year, man. It was a lot of big time football being played.
Oh, that summer set the tone. That summer at U Heights set the tone. Remember being around Brooks and Beck. I used to play Madden all the time, but I was around their crib all the time. We talking about everybody was working. Like, I was young then, but they knew the landscape. I'm just following their lead. I just know we worked and worked. And work, and them dudes was confident as hell. And I'm just like, yo, I'm just gonna follow their lead.
Yeah, we was able to bring some of the guys like Ahmad and the younger guys along with us, because no matter what we did the previous night, when the workouts, we was right there ready. In the summer, we were right there ready. We all did it together. We was just ready to do whatever, and we just showed up. And I think, no, it ain't what I think, is what I know. The fact that Dex said, look, man, I ain't going nowhere, man. I'm coming back, yo. Mm-hmm. Dex had a chance to go number one overall.
No question.
Yes.
It was quiet for about like a month and a half. Like, yo, what Dex going to do? Man, I ain't saying nothing to him. You said, I ain't going to say nothing. You said something. that man make his decision. And he came back to us. He said, man, I'm trying to come back. I'm coming back. I'm trying to win this thing all. Like you say, we started out like,
Auburn. People said, yeah.
They said Auburn was going, we have a chance going down to Auburn on a Thursday.
Yeah, y'all beat the shit out of Auburn. Goose egg there.
Goose egg, though. Goose egg from dudes, hey, though.
When I tell you, that defense was knocking a dog. When I tell you why, and then was in three, and man, listen, it was violent for us. We were the offense on the sideline. We weren't sitting at the bench. We was up watching them.
Yes, sir.
It was loud as shit out there, cuz, with them hitting. Just blah, blah. If we ain't, you know, move the ball that series, don't worry, we will get y'all that shit back. And blah,
blah. Every time we stumble, come on, Bruce, come on. Get them all. Let's go. I said, I got it, baby. Here we go. I got it. We had each other back. Like, yo, y'all tighten up over there in the D. Come on, man. We need to get, let's go. We need to stop. I guarantee you're going to put some on the board.
Once we scored, it was a wrap. We scored the first touchdown. I was like, well, I was like, oh, it's night for them, because they ain't getting in the paint. That's all they kept saying. They ain't getting in the damn paint.
Love it.
They were knocking their ass out, bro. I go back, watch that game on YouTube, and just listen to them hits.
We started undefeated for a good little bit.
Yeah, y'all 5-0.
With the Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And we was whooping their ass the first half.
We climbed up the boat. We jumped in the top 10.
We was 5.
Yeah, you were 7. You were 7.
Okay, and Coach, that was the week Coach's site.
Yeah.
Guys aren't that good.
You're not that good.
You're not that good.
You're not as good as you think you are. Man, well, we that shit right now. We trying to gas
that. Shut up. There's too much talking going on. We just got to the meeting. Like, the meeting just started. Shut the hell up. Shots aren't that good. You're just in here talking. Like, yo, the meeting ain't started yet, coach. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah. Man, Georgia Tech derailed you guys, and y'all jumped back in, won the next two, and then go down to Dope Campbell. They were number six. You guys were 12. They put a little thumping on you, and, you know, then it was.
Yeah, them too. We fell apart. Yeah. We were up like a dub, 29 yep. and a half. And fell apart on the second half. Second half, we fell apart.
I think that was Georgia Tech we was up.
Florida State 2-9 to Florida State. We was up like 20. We coming in halftime.
I remember we was winning, but damn, who's up with that?
No, y'all might have been up because it was 45-14 was a final.
Yeah, well, we were 14-0 in the first half.
Oh, yeah. I know we was leading. I just the Georgia Tech ones when I vividly remember because I remember we was running all over them.
Oh, yeah, that was about 100 yards of offense.
And Stoops blew out his damn quad on that deep ball. Boy, quad just went pow! And hit the deck like it was a dead body on the sideline. It was like, what the hell is wrong with Stoops? He couldn't move.
You know, Dex went down against NC State, so that kind of hurt us.
Bro. That hurt us all, bro. That hurt us all.
Yeah, but we were so tight that it didn't matter. I mean, I ain't saying it didn't matter with Dex. Dex just made us a superb team. We became with him being hurt, we was just a really good team. You know, him there, we were a superb team.
Right.
Because his, you know, leadership skills and everything and the way he played the game, it just elevated everybody. But we were still doing our thing when he went down, you know what I mean? I had to work for a little bit, but we were still doing our thing because T. Jones was a monster that year.
Monster. He was a monster. He was stupid out there.
T. Jones was a monster.
So rolling forward, you know, take me into the mindset of 29-7 in Blacksburg halftime.
Oh, yeah, that was all Dex.
I was waiting to hear it.
We hot. We confused. We know this shit ain't supposed to go down, but when Dex came in there, threw the crutches down.
Hey, dog. All the coaches, get the fuck out. He's crazy. Let's get out. Let's leave. Give him his time.
Dex went off on us, man. It was the right time, right moment, right game. It was everything was right for him to do what he did because it wasn't nothing about him being over. It was just about, yo, we need our leader right now, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he does. Like, you know, and he put that nail in his neck.
It's got that thing jumping.
He got that thing jumping. Three come out that thing, pick six, and then Wiley doing his thing. I did my thing. Jones did it. T. Jones got that idiot.
That dime you threw because it was a miss. It was somebody missed the assignment, and your ass with them limbs you got just launched that mug from the hip.
But you know what? You know the funny thing about it, they was like, yo. Sparkins is like, man, this game gonna be on you, Brooks. Because Tech gonna play eight in the box.
Yep.
I'm gonna give you one or two plays on our pass plays. They go two deep, we doing this. They go three deep, we gonna do this. They rotated down, I called the right play, boom. It was just one on 80. I was like, yo, fuck this. I'm just gonna sling it, man. I threw it on. And it just stuck to him. And it was at a place that no other defender can get to. Mm-hmm. That boy broke on that ball real nice. Like,
yeah, I ran a terrible route, though. I tell everybody where his arm won. My route was bad because I saw a midget driving before I came out. And all I was saying was keep it flat because I had a tendency of taking the bench route high. So when I saw him breaking, I was like, let me keep it flat. And when he was breaking, I was like, shit. That's all I said was shit. But I heard, I said, oh, the ball already coming. It was like, pink hit me right in my face. I just trapped it with one hand. Just trapped into my face. Hit me in my face, man. This is a pitch in Richmond Time Dispatch. He hit me right in my face, man. And Midget missed that shit because his arm. And he come from, that's the opposite half throw.
Yeah, yep.
Going into the field by the numbers.
Yeah.
And he didn't see. So he didn't see the completion. He got hit as soon as he threw it. Only thing Brooks saw was people jumping up and down because you see the camera. And he peeked and then he go back. But he didn't see the catch live. He just heard everybody on our sideline.
But when I saw, when you turned it up, that's when I saw that. Fell back,
what did you say to yourself when you saw that, fam?
Man, it was just like, yo, thank God, Lord. You know, like, I, wow. And I knew that was because that was down. That was it, right?
That was it, bro. We was coming out the huddle because Kevin had lost his contact, and I just ran in. So the play that was called, I was thinking T. Whip was getting the ball because T was eating. And you had stopped me. He was like, AD, I'm coming to you. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, bro. I know.
Because it was a bench route. I would, Brooks would tell you, I just wanted to run go routes. When I came in my first year, I used to tell him, dog, I'm running go routes. I just want to run down the field, throw that bitch. He'd be like, bro, you ain't open. Bro, if I'm even throw it, he'd be like, nah, it don't work like that, man. You going to get me in trouble. Like, you got to get open.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so he made that break. I let that rubber band go.
Let that thing fly, dog. I'm talking about that ball was loud. It was just whistling. And then it was like, pink. And everything stopped. Like, you heard nothing. As soon as I caught it, it was, that's all you heard. You ain't hit nothing else, bro. That was like the quietest touchdown I ever scored in my life, bro. You ain't hit nothing,
bro. That was arguably one of the greatest catches in the history of UVA.
I ain't catch this shit. He threw it in my face. That
whatever.
I'm not taking credit for that shit because he hit me in the face.
It's called the catch. They don't call it the throw, although it was a great throw.
Oh,
you two are forever linked for that play.
And that's a beautiful thing, right? Because we both from down the bottom, Newport News. I went to Hampton High, but I'm from Newport News. I looked at this dude since I was young. It was the reason I came to UVA because I back then you didn't have internet. So when I got to UVA, I didn't know AB was there until he hosted me. So I was just like, oh, I'm coming here. I just told Spurrier, you know, I'm going to Florida. But once AB was like, I'm going to be starting, I was like, oh shit, I'm coming. And I told G. Crowell when he took me by to my hotel, it's going to be me and you starting next year. He looked at me like, oh, this little dude, though. Like, he looked at me like, all right, whatever. And I got back, man. I was like, I'm going to UVA because AB up there.
Well, one thing we try to do as you know, with the younger recruits come, man, we just try to keep it 100, man.
Yeah, like, thanks.
I ain't gonna sugarcoat nothing, man. I'm gonna tell you everything, my experience, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're gonna keep running, but while we here, this is what we do.
Right.
This is what we do. We come to work, we're gonna make it happen. So we lack nothing. We lack nothing. So, you know, and as far as our experience, everybody got a different story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, who you listen to and how you take it, that's the experience you're gonna walk away from. But we never sugarcoated nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you know, being a brother up at the university at times is difficult. You know what I mean?
Facts.
Difficult. And even trying to get on the field and handling your academics and you know and everything in between, it can be challenging. It can be real challenging. And so we just wanted to make sure. I know personally, we just wanted to make sure that we kept it 100 with all the recruits. You gonna come in because this is what you feel and this is what you want to do, you know. So, we ain't sitting up here lying to nobody.
That's how the visit was. Cause like he won't sell me no dream. He was like, dog, I'm gonna be QB in here. You know, I heard what you're doing in high school. We'd love to have you. It won't no promises, but I knew my relationship with him. You know what I'm saying? So that's why that 98 catch is special to me because his last ever regular season throw at UVA was to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that. Where we from, I'm linked with him.
Facts.
Where we from, he's him. Facts. I'm forever linked with that dude. That's special to me. Fuck everything else I did at UVA. That catch is special to me because he's the reason I came. If it was full circle.
Yeah.
He's the reason, he's responsible for the catch. Because his throw, my route was trashy. He hit me in the damn face. I had just dropped a touchdown versus North Carolina, another dime he threw. People don't talk about that. I dropped a wide open touchdown by the hill. He scrambled through a dime. Shit beat that me don't up.
Matter. Won't tech. It don't matter because it won't tech.
It won't tech. Tech. Yep. Facts. Facts. Facts.
So that's my bro, man. You know, that's why I love when November come around because I get to celebrate him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
no. Can't beat that. That's big dope. Bro right there.
That's dope. That's dope. So then next time for next level. Fourth round draft pick, Green Bay Packers. Holla at us. What's up? What was up?
Out there with Brett Favre.
I'm like, I was fortunate to be up there, but I ain't had no business being up there. What you got down cold for me, yo? But I came in, I was willing to learn. And I came in and got straight to the grind, film work, everything. They gave me an assignment to do over the summer. I did it, and I was prepared for the season. And I picked the offense up pretty quickly. But the problem was I ain't take it that serious because I won't play.
Mm-hmm.
I had no chance of playing. It was like Iron Man, Brad, he don't ever get hurt. And then Hasselbeck, a.k.a. Hasselhoff, he was fit. He threw touchdowns off of fake field goal attempts, you know, at the time. So I'm like, man, I'm just sitting back here. And so when I finally got into about week 8 and week 9, 10, I started turning some heads and was like, yo, this kid going to be all right.
Mm.
But, and then that summer came around, they started bringing in cats like, Ronnie Makeda, Rick Ma. I'm like, Danny, what the hell is going on? These motherfuckers can't touch me. What the hell is going on? Hasselbeck trying to talk a little trash. I'm just like, oh, these motherfuckers tripping. And then all of a sudden, I get the tap on the shoulder. It's like, man, let me holler at you over here for a minute about equipment jump. I'm like, what? What is he talking about? He said, man, we just traded you.
Mm.
I was like, what the fuck? He said, man, you got an hour, 20 minutes to get down to Jacksonville. We traded you to New Orleans. And New Orleans is scrimmaging Jacksonville in Jacksonville. You got an hour, 20 minutes. The plane gonna leave. You got to get your shit and go.
Damn.
Damn.
I said, that's a motherfucker. Me and Lamont Hall and I got traded for another guy. They brought a linebacker. They brought up. And I was thrust into the backup role, but I'm new and I ain't really know. I'm like shy, you know, a little bit, you know, taken back from the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They look at me talking crazy about me. What's wrong with your boy, man? Because you got to remember, Mike McCarthy was the quarterback coach at Green Bay my rookie year. He left Green Bay and got promoted to offensive coordinator with the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
So he came back and got me, saw what I was able to do for that short period of time in Green Bay. He came back and got me. And that's what's up with your boy, da 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 da. But at the time, I'm like, man, it's the same system. But I'm still, like, thrown off by the whole process. By week 10, Liam, we played the Raiders. Jeff Blake broke his foot. And said, Brooks, you up. I came in that zone. My first pass was picked again. Them and Rod Wilson, because one of Joe Horn ain't running the right goddamn right. He's supposed to run Rod Wilson off the goddamn ball all the way to the end zone, 80 goddamn yards off the ball. Rod, because he was lallygagging, because he knew he was just clear out route. We had a bench route on the number two route with the number two receiver.
Mm-hmm.
80 yards. And so I threw the Jones, a perfect pass. Rod Wilson came off Joe Horn and made the interception, tiptoed the zone out of bounds. I said, ain't this a mother? So we came back in, go back in there. It's about second or third down. We got to throw the ball. It was a slant pass. I stepped back. I goddamn slung that ball, bro. Willie Jackson caught that goddamn slant, spit the middle, and took it for about 50 yards for a touchdown. So my first pick was a – first pass was a pick. My second was a touchdown. I said, get minutes on. I said, I finished that first – I finished that game playing 3.5 quarters and threw for 441 yards.
Ooh! Like a Ferguson with that.
So I had early success, and then on top of that, that same year, we played the greatest show on turf 3 times in 45 days.
Damn.
Let me say that again. We played the greatest show on turf, Kurt Warner,
Isaac Bruce, Paul,
Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt,
Hakeem,
with London Fletcher leading his line, our linebacker core. On the defensive joint, played them jokers 3 times in 45 days.
Damn.
Because we beat them motherfuckers twice.
Damn.
We beat them twice. The second time we beat them in the playoff zone, the first playoff win in Saints history. Mm-hmm. And none of the starters. No star receiver, no star running back. Just me and a bunch of backups.
Wow. Talk your talk, Brooks.
Joe Ho is hurt. Ricky Williams was hurt, man. So, in other words, man, I had early success in my NFL career, and you know, we try to, you know, duplicate that. Had some chances, some opportunities. Got very close, one game away each year I played. Besides my last 2 years in the NFL, wasn't as great, but with an 8-year career, I had an outstanding time, man, and had early success. I just wish it would have lasted long, but y'all know how that go, man. Up and, you know, you get to bouncing around, and, you know, my wife and I had our first child, and I was like, yo, I'm done, man. I'm tired.
Tired, boss.
I'm tired of picking myself off the ground, and I ain't trying to keep going as team to team. So I said, I'm going to shut it down.
How was it playing? How was it when you got, you know, playing for a historic franchise like the Raiders, and then y'all get Randy Moss?
I loved it. I loved it because it was a mystique.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you something that y'all might not know, people might not know about Randy. Randy is one of the best receivers that ever did it, right?
Yep.
But I call him Randy. He don't like that shit. Like, nigga, my name's Moss. I'm going to call you Clay.
Daddy name you Clay? I'm going to call you Clay.
Hey, Randy. Your mama call you Randy, I'm going to call you Randy. Now, one thing about Moss is that if he Batman, he need a Robin. So he won't like T.O. That's why T.O. so stupid with it. T.O. don't give a fuck who out there with him. He going to get his. Moss going to get his too, but he needs somebody to set him up. So if I got 80 and Moss out there, 80 going to do all the dirty work. And then we're going to come off 80 and get them in. I might throw a deep hook or 80 and run a post behind with Moss.
Okay.
Let it fly. Moss.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He ain't doing the slants all day. He ain't going to do the end route all day. He ain't going to do the dagger, the dig. Mm-hmm. You know, like, wow, come back. You know what I mean? Hitch. But he going to just fly with it. And so that year, I really had a really learning curve in terms of how to deal with a special talent like that. But also that in order to make him successful, one of the other receivers had to be successful as well. And, you know, but the Raiders had problems trying to figure out how to have a deep passing game with no blocking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that old Al Davis stuff. He wanted to be deep with the fast receiver, but she ain't got no blocking. How the hell?
Right.
You're going to get it up.
Right. Right.
Did you overlap with Ron C? Was Ron C there?
Yeah, he was there. Okay. He was there. Ron put in some work. Actually, Ron led the team in receptions that year.
He definitely did. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We was able to connect a lot. You know what I mean? But it just wasn't enough because at that time, I got injured and Moss started to lose interest and we had no running game, no offensive line, but we had the number one defense. We just couldn't do nothing, you know? And then I got hurt that year and I was out like 8 weeks and it, you know, it was just a wrap. You know what I mean? It was just a wrap. But it was cool. It was one of the greatest organizations. They still keep in contact. They send me stuff. They want to bring me out there. It's just the mystique of being a Raider, man. I love the fact that, you know, that I'm a part of it.
That's dope. Packer, Saint, and Raider.
Yeah.
Talking about three franchises with that
big mystique. Time.
Yeah.
Big time. Big That's time right. franchise. Shoot, passing for over 20,000 yards, man. You in 2014, you get inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. Bruh, I know that had to be special to you.
Yeah, it was cool. It was like bittersweet. You know, I gave that city everything I got. But I think a lot of times I was misunderstood because, you know, I try to give back to the underprivileged kids.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants you to give back to everybody. Can't give back to everybody.
Right.
So it wasn't the fact that I lost fan base. It was just how I carried myself. You know, I was down for the cause. I mean, mm-hmm. I was down for the better people.
Right.
And a lot of times when you're in service jobs, man, people ain't trying to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ain't trying to hear all the good stuff you're trying to do. They trying to see where they can benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that because that was my foundation was about at the time. It's about, you know, support literacy.
Okay.
We get kids registered, get library cards, get in the library, start reading books. You know what I mean? You know, New Orleans has the struggles like everybody else, like every other city. But at the same time, you know, some of the things I just didn't like. But at the same time, you know, I just spoke from the heart, man. You know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you're a quarterback, you bearing a lot of that weight.
Yeah.
You always going to do it, you know? And the more I try to explain myself, I guess probably maybe it didn't come out as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you kind of learn. But I think one thing at the end of the day, whether you was a Saints fan or not, you already knew I gave 100.
Right. Right.
I gave 100 in everything I did. And but I still got a good repertoire with the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mind you this to some of your listeners and to all your listeners. It is the Deep South. Brother in the Deep South having success, there's going to be some challenges.
Right.
There's going to be some drawbacks, some setbacks in terms of how people view you, how you say what you do, how you do. That's part of it. And I get all that. But, you know, one thing they can't say is they can't say I ain't give them everything, you know, that I had. And they can compare me to whomever and whatever. It don't matter.
Right.
It's I'm good. And you know, it was like a movie. You buy the ticket, you come watch the show. You don't like it, leave. we packed the stadium.
No doubt. So then, post-career, how did you get into the property development space and in real estate?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was with my financial advisor at the time, and he came to me and asked me about whether I want to be a partner in developing some land in Williamsburg. And I was very unsure about the situation. And so I told him, yeah, but I do it at a smaller percentage just to get in and kind of see what it's about. You know, as time went on, I started to see how it was. And then I would just start to retire, become, you know, I was just going to retire. We just had our first child. My wife just had our first child. And I was looking to, you know, relocate back to Virginia. And one thing led to the next, and I stopped buying more of the company.
Mm.
And eventually I end up pretty much to this day own 85% of the company. And he and I was able to take 17 acres of wooded land and put all the infrastructure in, sewer, gutters, curbs, utilities, manholes, everything. We prepped the lots, sold the lots off, and to Brian Holmes, which wanted to
top
the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that time, I went back home, 80 ADI, and I told the city, I'm like, yo, I'm trying to do something at your home.
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, "Yeah, we got a project that you need to look into and put your bid in for." So I was awarded that, and I took what I did in Williamsburg and went back home with it. Went through that process, got awarded a joint, brought in some bigger ammunition with Amada Hoffman. So I, you know, got a partnership with Amada Hoffman, joint venture with Amada Hoffman. They helped me get it off the ground. It was slow at first, but they helped me get it off the ground. And now I called it after myself. I named the development after myself. It's called Brooks Crossing. It's 28th Street from 33rd Street. We got a police precinct there. We got a Family Dollar. We got the city helped us bring in Piggly Wiggly, you know, which the city is operating. But we got the retail shops next to it. We was able to form a partnership with the shipyard, Huntington Ingalls.
Yeah.
I put up 100,000 square foot building, nice. Looking over the project. And now the city was instrumental with the success of that, of applying for a $30 million grant from the federal government. They was awarded that. And so now the housing authority and another construction company from out of town is putting up mid-rises and changing the whole landscape of downtown New Orleans. But the project Brooks Crossing is the gateway to it all.
Wow. That's dope.
But see how well we was able to take power lines that was above head, put them under the ground, street work, streetscape up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's official, man. So it's been a beautiful thing, man. I've been very
crossing.
That's making a difference, though, fam. That is making a difference in changing the lives of your community, bro. Kudos, fam. Kudos.
That's what's up. Appreciate it. Yeah.
No doubt. Well, fam, we know you got a short time. So before we let you get out of here, we always end our episode with something called Shut the Hell Up, I'm Underdog. And what that is something that really gets on your nerves. I mean, you know, that fucks with you real tough, but you're like, you know what? I'm going to be all right. Holler at us.
Man, every time I come up to them a game and we thing and take it home, I'm crunk. I'm ready. Maybe because I was on the field. You know, I'm ready to go. And when I come to the tailgate, you know, come through the parking lot, and we see some little scrub ass Virginia Tech fan or students or whatever, I'm ready to talk trash to them. And everybody around me ain't ready to talk trash. Get on my goddamn nerves, because I'm ready to beat the hell out of these motherfuckers. And maybe we ain't ready to goddamn play them or something, but I'm ready to goddamn go at the fans. So they need to shut the hell up with that bullshit. I don't play with that shit, 80. Hey, we beat the shit out of goddamn.
Hey, you was 2-0. You undefeated versus them, bro.
I ain't with that dumb shit, man. For real. They better be ready to goddamn kick some ass, goddamn. They know to actually get.
He ain't lying. Spend the time, man. What the hell going on right here? Why am I afraid to talk to that?
Everybody nice and shit, bro. Hey, that's how I am, bro. Look, even when we go there, bro, I be on swole walking through the damn media complex. I'm like, I wish somebody would say some shit right now.
They throw shit at me when I'm on the sideline.
Just be hey, just. Tell ass, like, come here.
Let me snatch a bone out your ass real quick.
I know, it was 2-0 as a starter.
Don't you know who we are, boy?
Yeah, they know what the lamb is. They know what he do. That's a dub. 11 at star quarterback versus Tech, dub.
No doubt. Well, fam, we sure appreciate you taking time for us, my guy.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Appreciate it, man. Love y'all boys, man.
And for the
no
listeners, doubt. If y'all been hearing him say 80 Ott, that was my nickname at UVA because I had my license plate says 80 Ahmad, but they called me Ahmad, so they go 80 Ott. So that's why you hear him say 80 Ott. Because I know people like, what is he saying? He's saying 80 Ott. That's my nickname from college. So they don't call me Ball Hawk. They call me 80. Everybody in the group chats that I'm in with all the OGs, they don't do that Ball Hawk shit. They say, you are
I'm gonna bring it up today, baby. I'm gonna bring it up today, Ball.
No, it's 80. No, that's the essence, man. That's the essence.
That's it. Hey, you his OG, bro.
Yeah,
that's what you call him. That's what it is. No doubt.
Because I know when somebody say 80, I know it's somebody from the class. So I'm gonna look like that's a serious call out right there.
Yeah, yeah.
End that up, yo, for real.
That's my dog. That's my bro.
Good shit. Well, Wahoo fans, this has been another episode of the Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk with former Cavalier great Ahmad Brooks.
No, Aaron. You got me mixed up with him.
I done slipped it and fucked it up. Bro, y'all got me laughing so damn hard over here. So, my bad, fans. Former Cavalier great QB, Aaron Brooks, a.k.a. A.B.
A.K.A. 2-0 versus them bum-ass Hokies.
Until next week, we are out.
Love you, big bro, man.
Appreciate you, my guy. Let's be kidding.